Here's something interesting. The new book by Barack Obama, A Promised Land, really gives a glimpse, and I think even it's more than a glimpse. I think he literally tears down the curtains, giving a back view to the behind the scenes of his journey to and whilst being the president of the United States of America, cementing an idea that he carries on throughout the book, that really anyone is capable of anything, regardless of where they come from or who they are. Welcome to this fine podcast, the podcast that is focused on your self-development and growth. My name is Kevin Miner, and I'm so excited to bring you yet another episode that I hope and I pray will entertain you, inform you, inspire you, and hopefully prompt you into action. On this week's book review, we are looking at a book that honestly, since it was announced by its author, I was drooling to get my hands on a copy. And when Textbook Center announced its arrival on November 17th, I knew I had to pre-order. Like, seriously, honestly, it has been worth every penny. So stick around and I will be telling you on how you can grab a copy if you'd want one from our good friends at Textbook Center. So, A Promised Land by Barack Obama. The book really does start beautifully, and that's a good thing because I tend to judge a book by its cover, literally. I mean, who doesn't? One thing I noticed from the beginning is how vivid Barack is in his narration. Every sentence is intentional. Every word is strategic, such that you read the book and you feel as if you're watching a mental movie, like a movie in the mind. Like, you can see it all. You can imagine it. It's not like a movie about mental health or anything. No, like, it's a movie in the mind. He starts talking about the West Colonnade, which I'm excited to talk about because not many people know what that is. And so I'll be telling you about it as if I've been to the White House myself. So here we go. The Colonnade is really just a corridor, like in layman's terms, that connects the residential wing of the White House with the executive wing of the White House, you know, the offices and whatnot. And why this is important in the book is because it is, as Barack puts in his own words, of all the rooms and halls and landmarks that make up the White House and its grounds, it was the West Colonnade that I loved best. That's the opening line, right? And this is true because as he narrates, every morning and evening as he walked through the Colonnade, whether he was going home or to the offices, even his walking style would change. And for me, what I found beautiful for a man of his stature is how he found great pleasure in the seemingly simple things in life. And this is seen throughout the book. In regards to the Western Colonnade, one side of it faces the Rose Garden, which is a very common garden, a popular one, while talking about the White House. With a vivid description, he narrates how every day as he walked through the Colonnade, he would catch sight of groundkeepers, or in other words, gardeners, right? And they would be working on the garden, and whilst watching the impeccable work and commitment, it affirmed to him every day that he needed to work as hard and take as much care in his job as they did in theirs. Which, again, like I said, it's beautiful. Not many people would think much or even appreciate gardeners doing their job, let alone find inspiration from them. But for Barack, it did seem for him that simple things are what really fueled his purpose. As you read the book, if you get a copy, you will notice throughout, even while he narrates about his campaign trail journeys while they were in the campaign van and his daughters will join him and his wife, Michelle Obama, will join him, he felt really, it fueled him. It would even translate to when he was maybe addressing an audience. Now, Barack's narration of his childhood is probably one of the things I looked forward to in the book, and mainly from his perspective. Of course, many people know a thing or two about his childhood. We have all heard of a story about this kid who was born of a Hawaiian mother and a Kenyan father. But I promise it does hit different when Barack narrates it from his point of view. You know, when he tells you, when he talks about the mischief, when he talks about him being a misfit in school, when he talks about his desire to find his identity. One thing that really struck me, however, was the beginning of his love for books. Right? It's something also that many people are aware of. Barack is like a reader. He's a bookworm. He refers to it as finding refuge in reading, which it's actually truly refuge in reading, and here's why. Barack was explicitly a misfit, right? Which is obvious from even his appearance. He really does stand out. But more than that, and besides the fact that he grew up with an absent father, as he explains in his book, he did have a lot of unanswered questions. He could see a thick line that existed between the rich and the poor. He witnessed how wrong black men and women were portrayed in society, whether through music, whether through film. And so anytime he complained, his mother would simply say, and this is, by the way, verbatim, "Go read a book, then come back and tell me something you learned." Now, this was very early in his life, yet he credits the habit of reading as a great asset whilst becoming the leader he became. What's interesting is that somewhere along the book, he explains when he started reading, really, there were words he barely understood. And why I'm really emphatic on this part of him starting the habit of reading is because many young people, especially today, are not reading as much as previous generations were reading. And sometimes we feel like, you know, as if someone is a bookworm, maybe that's they were born with that gift or talent. But he's someone who is really ardent in terms of reading. He is an author. He is a writer. He is literally everything you would imagine as perfect when it comes to using words, communicating, you know, reading, writing, and whatnot. Yet he barely did understand words, which is normal when you're starting to read, right? He barely understood words, and he would go to the extent of finding their meanings, even though he did not know the pronunciation, which was very interesting. More than that, he says that even when there wasn't a pattern or a relationship to what he was reading, or even an immediate reason as to why he was reading what he was reading, he always had a deep awareness that surely all that knowledge would prove handy once he figured out the nature of his calling. In his own words, he puts it this way: "I was like a young tinkerer in my parents' garage, gathering up old cathode ray tubes and bolts and loose wires, not sure what I'd do with any of it, but convinced it would prove handy once I figured out the nature of my calling." My favorite quote in the book is really brief, and ardent readers may use the word succinct, but it is extremely timely to our generation today. So much so that Barack incessantly repeats it to his daughters, as he admits in the book. The quote reads, "Enthusiasm makes up for a host of deficiencies." To give you context, now, Barack joined Harvard Law School in the fall of 1988, which he narrates in depth while in the book, right? As he writes, this was a place where students had an explicit awareness that they were made for more, you know, than they even appeared to be. And like him, who came from a really tiny, minute background and hence very little self-belief. In fact, he credits his good performance at Harvard to being slightly older than his peers, because while they were complaining or finding, you know, the workload a bit too much, for him, he relished it. It was his forte, because you remember the reading habit? So him, time spent in the library going through books or buried in books, it was time that he really enjoyed and wanted more of. All this formed a great interest in all he was doing, right? So him being very curious, asking questions, intentional in his thought, as he says somewhere in the book. In fact, alikuwa wale wa watiajiwa class, those guys who sit at the front and then every question, wanainua mkono, atakani question ya good morning class, you know? But really, for him, it was the enthusiasm that saw him scale above his peers. Within no time, he was elected as the first black head of the law review. He signed his first contract to write a book, and job offers came in from all over the country. In fact, he goes on to narrate that it was almost too much, too fast that he doubted it. But obviously there was more in store considering the person he went on to become. So I read somewhere some time back that when you have doubts that you can do something, simply pretend that you can do it, and everyone will believe that indeed you can. It kind of relates to the phrase that I just talked about, that enthusiasm does make up for a host of deficiencies. Our generation has been accused of lacking enthusiasm, wanting to be spoon-fed, and never thinking outside the box. To some extent, this is true, although sometimes our parents are a bit tough and they exaggerate, and I think they hate us at some time. But it is true. There is a lack of enthusiasm that sits with young adults today. At times, that word is replaced with self-confidence. You know, that deep-seated belief that you can do what you set your mind on. And I agree with Barack that it goes a long way to earn you that deserved pedestal. Because sometimes we do have the talent, we do have the potential, but without an enthusiasm, without enthusiasm in whatever you're doing, whether you're communicating, whether you're speaking, whether you're expressing yourself, whether you're writing, whether you're creating content, without an enthusiasm and a clear show of self-confidence, it might take time to get where you ought to be, or really, you might never get where you ought to be. As a young person reading this book, I get a boiling awareness that really many of the people we look up to, whether it's Barack Obama, whether it's Oprah Winfrey, or even local leaders and celebrities here in our country, these people are not any more special than we are. In other words, you can achieve what they have achieved and even more. Of course, with a different script, because every life is different. Everyone has their own path. Everyone has their own circumstances and whatnot. But here's where the catch is. The difference between those who go out and leave a mark or a dent, as Steve Jobs would say, in the world, aside from their enthusiasm and talent, it is the choices that they make throughout their lives. While reading A Promised Land, which is literally Barack's life in 800 pages, which is, it's the beauty of reading books because you avoid so many mistakes that you'd otherwise make in the future by grasping someone's whole life in about a book of 800 pages or 500 pages. You will notice that every decision made by him in his life does add up to his life as a whole. Why I'm saying this is because as young people, we tend to live our lives as if in compartments. So you think that the decisions that and habits you form right now, whether it's drinking, whether it's partying, whether it's engaging in morality, they will somehow vanish and not catch up with you when you are 25, when you decide, I'll stop drinking when I'm 25, you know, when I'm settled down and all that. They won't go away. So everything you do really does affect your life as a whole. That is something that you will notice as you read the book from the first page. You know, it's such a very stable and steady, continuous turn of events that add up to each other, add up to the whole. So whatever habits you're forming right now, they will end up following you tomorrow. Someone once told me that if you want to see how your 5 years will look like or how your next 5 years will be, look at what you're doing now, because if you're doing it steadily and continuously, what makes you think that you wouldn't be doing the same thing 5 years from now? I hope that has sunk in. The book is now available at Textbook Center for only 2,999 shillings. You can make your order online at textbookcenter.com or simply walk in at one of their stores and grab a copy. This book is going out so fast that already Textbook Center has ranked it as the top 20 books that are selling out, bestsellers that are selling out extremely fast. Of course, amongst books like Becoming by Michelle Obama. So do make sure you grab a copy. Personally, I always prefer going into their stores because that way there's just like a vibe, you know, when you're in a Textbook Center shop or store and you're browsing the books and you're looking at all the options that you have, it's good. So you can do that. Do make a point to get yourself a copy. I can assure you that it's worth every penny. And the book itself is timeless. In other words, I am sure that my children will read this book and even their children will read it. That's how timeless it is. Like, it's relevant to every generation right now. So do get a copy because the insights are extremely profound. That's all I had for you for this episode. Try to make it short and sweet because, you know, we're trying to make sure you get the book. Some people have been asking, is it worth it? Is it whatnot? Trust me, it is worth it. You will not stop reading it once you start reading it. So do get a copy. Remember to follow the podcast at Kevin's Pod. Remember to leave a review, subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening from. If it's Google Podcasts, subscribe kindly. Leave us a message as well at Anchor or leave us a comment at Stitcher or wherever you're listening from. And tell a friend to tell a friend.